Here already. Really good. Welcome to all your visitors. Glad to have you here as well. I was thinking about it yesterday. Winter is coming. I'd like to talk a little bit about winter. In Genesis 8, God promises Noah, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." The seasons are a fact of life. Life goes on, from spring to summer to fall, and here we are again at winter. Hadn't realized it was so close. What if imagine three different scenarios here this morning. Here's one. Didn't realize it was here yet. So here, it's almost here. Why didn't we can more vegetables when we had a garden? All those leaves really should have been raked up. Now they're all wet and soggy and killing the grass. And I was going to make sure I got that leak fixed this year. It's going to leak again just like it did the last 3 years. Every time it freezes. Maybe next summer. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8 says this to that kind of person. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Or worse yet, in Jeremiah 8, verse 20. "The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we're not saved." And if that's the kind of attitude we have toward life, that we're just pushing it off, we're too busy to prepare, that verse will be true of us someday. Or you might think of it like this. Winter is coming. Unstoppable winter. Like a train wreck in slow motion. The days are cold. The nights are colder. Climb out of the warm truck in the morning and the damp wind seems to go right through all those layers of coats and overalls and thick socks you're wearing. It's wet. It's muddy. It's messy unless it's frozen. You look like an astronaut with your insulated clothes, but still your fingers are stiff. Your chin feels as if it belongs to somebody else, and when you try to talk, you're going to hardly talk after being out there in the cold all day. You know what I'm talking about, those of you who work outside. You've got ice storms to look forward to, power outages, frozen pipes, piles of firewood to burn through, icy patches to slip on, salty roads to rust your vehicles. Winter's coming. Can't wait until spring. Here's one verse for you. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now, sometimes we look at these things in life. I'd like to make some comparisons between the season that we are approaching, or the time of year, and the times of our lives, things that we face. And you know, the fact is that we can say true things about our lives. Absolutely true things. Everything I said there was true. But we didn't have to say it. You don't have to live there. And you can always find things to be negative about. You can always find a reason to be sad. Always find an excellent reason to be grumpy. If you only look. Just look around. But why does God give us these things? If you would like to turn with me to John 9, verses 1 through 7, I'd like to start this thought of the seasons of our lives and the things that happen to us and why they happen to us and the things we can do about them. John 9, verses 1 through 7, "And as Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now there's an interesting concept, isn't it? This man was suffering, not for any wrong he had done or any wrong that anybody else had done, for no other reason but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was going through a winter of his life just so that God could be glorified. How about that? "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We can look at seasons in a lot of different ways. We can look at youth as spring and winter as being old age. And thinking of that in that way, there comes a time in our life when we can no longer work, when we're gone. And all of us should be aware of that. We sang, that third song we sang this morning, 468, had a lot of interesting thoughts relating directly to this, where it talks about how each day we need to take this seriously. but not spend our time in the future. Spend our time here by preparing for today. The night cometh when no man can work. We need to work now. So as we're going through summer, or those of us at my age, we're crossing over from spring into summer, I hope. And it's, you know, we're in the strength of our lives. What are we doing to prepare for the future? The night's coming when no man can work. Are we looking at opportunities around us, as Chad spoke this morning, and seeing what God has for us to do? Or are we just procrastinating? We're putting it off. And all of a sudden, we get that first cold snap and we're not ready for it. And in this case, Jesus healed this man. Well, here's another outlook on winter. Winter is coming. We already had some snow and some ice. Time for hot chocolate, long evenings curled up in front of the fireplace with a good book. Time for board games and telling stories and laughing at old jokes. Time for sledding and ice skating and snowmen. And you can build entire snow families. We'll see the world covered in a beautiful blanket of snow, covering up all the mud and the dirt as if grime no longer existed. There'll be long walks in the postcard beautiful scenery, and you're taking pictures that can never capture the beauty that you see all around you. Your breath is smoke in the air, and the cold bites and it nips and it cleanses you as you take a deep breath, and your dog is all frisky from the cold and he's running in circles, and the children are happy. You stay out as long as you can, then you stamp back into the house. Your nose and your cheeks are red. You stomp the snow off your feet and you peel off layer after layer of coats and jackets and gloves and socks. And you find the wood by the fireplace. You fill the fireplace back up and the fire roars. And you sit down in front of it, hold out your hands. It feels just, there's nothing like warm fire when your hands are cold. It feels just beautiful. You look out the window and you see the chickadees and the cardinals and the juncos are having a battle with a blue jay over the birdseed. And they're providing you with a free show. Winter is coming. Isn't it wonderful? You know, the way we look at life, the story we tell of life, tells more about us than it says about our circumstances. There's so many ways we can look at life. And it's so important that we look at life through the glasses that God gives us. Because, you know, if we don't, if we haven't committed ourselves to the Lord, there's all kinds of negativity, all kinds of reasons to be sad. And you know, I'll get to that later. Winter has its challenges, and that's why it's winter. I mean, we experience those times in our lives. But there is so much to always be thankful for. There's so many beauties to enjoy no matter where we are in life. Life is what happens while we're busy making other plans. It's a quote that I read. So much of our life becomes is what we make of it. A season of our winter in life can be looked as a negative thing, whether it's a sickness or whether it's a time of financial difficulty, whether it's just, you know, we're going through something tough. And, you know, it is tough. Maybe it's something we look at it as something we just want to survive. I just want to get out of this. Just let me out. I'm ready for spring. But longing for something we don't have and despairing over all the things that we do have that we don't want, we lose the opportunity to experience much joy. There is no perfect life. There's just the life that we have. And it's our privilege to furnish it in such a way that it brings glory to God and a blessing to those around us. So every season must be enjoyed, no matter where we are in life, the things that we face. If we only exist in the hoped-for future, we think about the things that we want to do someday. We want to, and we agonize over these things and they eat us. We never experience the joys of the present because we're so busy thinking about the future. Or maybe for some of us, the past. We think of those wonderful memories that we had before, the wonderful times that we had, and we sort of live there. And we don't enjoy the present and we neglect to prepare for the future. But preparation for the future is necessary if we're going to enjoy the future when the future is the present. So one way to look at it is to realize that the life we now have is a harvest of the life we have lived up until now. We are now sowing the seeds of the future, but we're also reaping the actions, the attitudes, the relationships of the past. This happens all through our lives. We don't come to the end of our lives and then reap. I'm reaping right now for what I've done before. And that's why it's so important that we set a godly course. We can never expect happiness and fulfillment in the future if we sow seeds of procrastination, negativity, aloofness, apathy, or ungodliness now. John 4, 34 through 38. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Right now, in winter, there are things that need to be gathered. There are things that need to be sowed. Always sowing, always harvesting. Winter is also a time of waiting. It is true. It's a time of when we can't do some things that we could do in other seasons. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's coming soon. Let's be patient. Let's be strong. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten. It's an old quote. So if you're not satisfied with the life you live now, maybe it's time to look at it again. Maybe there's something that we haven't surrendered. And if we try to just keep on doing what we've done and expect a different outcome, it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to waltz into your life and make it a sunny place suddenly. Each season brings its own unique blessings and challenges, and we begin to enjoy each season when we accept it for what it is, without trying to force the norms of other seasons into this season. We don't plant corn in the fall. We don't go swimming in the winter, at least most of us don't. We don't take the sled out in the hill in summertime, and we don't look for apples on trees in the spring. There are things that happen in certain parts of the year where we don't fight it. But it's also true that each season leads to the next. The results of our activities are awaiting us in the season that follows. So when we fight and when we struggle and when we work against what we've got because we really want something else, we aren't happy. Those around us aren't happy. And God is not served. There again, going back to what Chad said this morning about being aware of the needs around us. If I am only aware of the fact that I'm in winter time here and I don't enjoy it and I'm not happy about it, I'm not going to be looking for the 5,000. And my bread is certainly going to be hoarded to myself, because that's what it does when we selfishly look at ourselves only. And there are times, or there are things that we can only do in the winter time, forced inaction. Now I'll come unto you, this is Paul saying to the Corinthians, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. Sometimes we're forced to tarry. We're forced to winter. We're forced to stop for a while. And we can chafe and battle and fight with it, or we can use that, as Paul did, as a time to encourage and a time of blessing for those around him. Winter is a time to prepare for the future, and it's also a time to prepare for. Some things happen in our lives beyond our control. We have absolutely no say over them, and they pass without our control. Some things happen specifically because of our actions, because I did A, B followed. But a lot of times, things happen in our lives that are initially beyond our control, but the outcome will depend largely on my response to it. Even if we enjoy winter, most of us would not like to live in a world in which there was only winter. And yet some people live spiritually and emotionally in perpetual winter. And they do this because of their responses to events that happen in their lives. And the grief, the bitterness, the coldness, the aloofness, the anger, the melancholy, they cling to these things because of what happened, or because what they don't have, because what they want that's out there. And they cling to them in their longing for what was or what could have been, and by so doing they cut themselves off from what they do have and what they could still have. They cut themselves off from the new spring, the new summer, and the new harvest. If we live in those places, you will never experience the blessing of God as we can if we accept the fact that life changes, life happens. And those who are successfully navigating life are the ones who have come to peace with their past, repented of what's back there, and are moving forward, are living in peace with their present, and who are preparing for the future. And you know, it's also true that winter is a shared experience. When we go through winter here, we're going through it all together. But many times, when we're experiencing winter, we forget everybody else around us. And our grief, our pain, is the only pain in the world for us. And we don't look at the suffering around us. But you know, other people around us are suffering as well. Other people around us have needs. And unless and until we can reach, see beyond ourselves, and see the world as God sees it, we will never come out of winter. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And winter is a time to prepare for. And thinking of winter as the end of our lives, or the time when the Lord comes, if we are caught unprepared, without preparation, we're going to that frost, that killing frost, is going to catch us. So let's prepare now. Acts 3, verses 19 through 20. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which is before preached unto you. Or in 2 Corinthians, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. They don't experience the spring and summer in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's prepare now for those times that will be beyond our control. So the winter will end, just as the spring will end, until the end of time. Let's prepare for each, in each, and enjoy the blessings around us. And let's work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you for your goodness to us and your blessings. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to see the world through your eyes and to fully commit ourselves to you. Lord, I just pray that you would just give us a vision for the needs around us and help us to have a passion for souls and for your kingdom. I pray that you bless this service and bless Brother Murray as he speaks, each heart here. In Jesus' name, amen.